This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening, Capricorn FM listeners. Good evening, matriculants. My name is Mr. Jore from Dendron Standard School. In today's English First Additional Language, we want to focus on your English Paper 3. We're going to focus on your English Paper 3 for creative writing. But before we get deep into the lesson, I think it's important that we focus on the examination guidelines, what the examination guidelines state for this paper, for English First Additional Language Paper 3. It is very, very important that you know what you are expected to do when you write your English First Additional Language Paper 3. So the first thing that you must know is that this paper, your English Paper 3, English First Additional Language Paper 3, is actually marked out of 100. And you are supposed to write it within a period of 2.5 hours. The duration is 2.5 hours. Remember, I am using the 2021 examination guidelines. So this paper consists of three sections. That is section A, it's your essay. Section A, it's your essay. And that essay that you're going to choose is marked out of 50. Then section B, it's a longer transactional text, and it's marked out of 30. Then shorter transactional writing, which is marked out of 20. That's section C. So we have three sections. The first one marked out of 50. The second one marked out of 30. The third one out of 20. You are expected to choose one question from these three sections. You are not going to answer everything. Time won't permit you, and you'll be penalized if you don't follow instructions. You must write in English, strictly English. We don't expect any vernacular in English First Additional Language Paper 3. Then each section should start on a new page. That booklet that you're going to get, boys and girls, it actually has many pages, maybe 28 pages. So it's important that your work should be neat. You start a new section on a new page. The other thing that is very important is your planning. You must ensure that you use maybe mind maps or diagrams, flow charts to show your planning. Planning is very important. Then after planning, you edit and proofread. Then you write the final presentation. So the plan must appear before each text that you're going to write. And all planning must be clearly indicated as such and handed in. It is advisable that you draw a diagonal line to show that this is planning. But you must only cancel, let's say, your rough draft of your essay, your rough draft of a longer transactional writing, your rough draft of your shorter transactional writing, after you are convinced that I am actually done with my work. So it is very, very important that you show that this is planning by way of drawing a line across it. And you are strongly advised to spend around 80 minutes for section A, 40 minutes for section B, and 30 minutes for section C. So you should budget your time very well. You should not get carried away and write section C, section A, and forget that we have other sections to attend to. So it is very, very important that you budget your time well. 80 minutes for section A, 40 minutes for section B, and 30 minutes for section C. And you must always remember to number your answers correctly according to the numbering system that is in the question paper. You don't have to change the numbering system. So you write the correct number for the question that you have chosen, and you write the topic. For section A, section B, you do the same. Section C, you do the same. It is very important that you number according to way those questions that you have chosen are numbered on the question paper. And you must remember that you don't submit a text without a heading. So where a heading is not given, you must remember that you choose or you give a suitable title or a suitable heading for each and every text. The text that you have chosen should have a heading. So it's the number of the text and the heading. That's what you must do. And when you now have to count the words, you may not consider that heading or title as part of the numbers, the words that you have used. So you don't count the words that you have used for the title or for the heading. And you must always write neatly and legibly. You may lose marks if your handwriting is not quite legible. The examiner may not be able to interpret or to read the words if they are not legible. So once the examiner is not able to read what you have written, it means the examiner will not get the meaning that you intended to put across. So you will lose marks for that. So it is very important that you write neatly and legibly. Ensure that on that day, you use the best handwriting ever. So for section A, it will be 8 questions this time around. 8 questions. It will be 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 up to 1.8. That's section A. So the length of your work for section A, the essay that you're going to be writing, should be 250 to 300 words. I think it is important. It's obviously important that you have to respect the number of words. So it's 250 to 300 words. Well, my experience tells me that if you write the first page, page 1, despite your handwriting, whether it's big or small, or just average. When you go to the second page, you may not necessarily exceed 10 lines on the next page. So by merely looking at the pages 1.5 or 1.25, the examiner can be able to tell that this candidate has exceeded the word limit. So it's important that after writing your first page, when you go to the second page, you must be thinking of a conclusion so that it will be maybe 10 lines, 15 at most on the next page, but not 1.5 pages. That, boys and girls, I think will be beyond the word number 300. So the types of essays that you should expect include a narrative essay. It includes descriptive essay, it includes a reflective essay, discursive essay, and an argumentative essay. Those are the type of essays that you are expected to write. Even though there is the stimulus, the picture that you are going to get, two pictures that you are going to get, they can be 3 this time around, you still have to try and stick to those types of essays, because if you are given a picture as a stimulus, you can make it a narrative essay, you can make it a descriptive essay, it's all up to you. So it is very important that you write an essay that falls under those types that I've just mentioned, that is narrative, descriptive, reflective, discursive, argumentative. We will look into those types of essays to say, what do we mean when you say narrative, descriptive, reflective, discursive, and argumentative, when we'll be discussing the essays in depth. Then now, when you're done with your section A, you proceed to section B. In section B, that's your longer transactional text. That will be your 2.1 to 2.4. So you'll expect 4 questions there that fall under 3 categories. And what does that mean? It means any one of those three sections may have two questions. But that should not confuse you. You still have to choose one question from section B. So what should you expect from the longer transactional text that is your section B? What you expect is that you must answer one question, four questions will be set, but just choose one. At least one question per category, at most two questions per category. So even if you have a category that is two questions, you just have to choose one question. So under category A, what do you expect? If you don't find a friendly letter, you may find a formal letter. And if you don't find a formal letter, you may find a curriculum vitae which goes together with a covering letter. You may find a CV which goes together with a covering letter. So it's very, very important that you study and prepare for all these. Friendly letter, formal letter. It can be a letter, a formal letter of request, or a formal letter where you have to write an application letter, or it's a formal letter of complaint, or it's a letter where you are supposed to express sympathy, or it's a letter where you are supposed to express congratulations or your gratitude. So you have to practice different types of letters, whether it's friendly letter or formal letters. You have to practice different. Then you may also expect a formal letter or informal letter to the press. A formal letter or informal letter to the press. You may also, these days, they have introduced the email. In the new examination guidelines, they have introduced an email. So you must know how to write an email as well. That is category A of your section B. Category B, we have, if you don't find the reviews, you will find a newspaper article or a magazine article or agenda, or you will find minutes of a meeting. And agenda and minutes, they go together. It's a combination on that one. Just like category A, where we have a CV and a covering letter. They go together. You may also be asked to write, under category B, formal or informal reports. And under category B, that's where we also may find an obituary. You may find an obituary under category B. Then category C, you may find dialogue or a written interview, written formal or informal speech. That's your category C. But remember, we are still talking about section B. So we said you just choose one. When I say you choose one, if you find a CV going together with a covering letter, we consider it as one, because it will be maybe your 2.1. They say write a CV and a covering letter. We consider it to be one thing. Where you write agenda and minutes under category B, let's say it's 2.2 agenda and minutes, we consider it as one. So you just choose one question, either 2.1 or 2.2, or 2.3, or 2.4. Then you present whatever you shall have chosen. And you must know that you choose only one, and it's going to be marked out of 30. And the criteria for marking is, for content planning and format, it's 18. Then for language style and editing, is 12, which adds up to 30 marks for section B. Right? Now, section C, you also choose one. And when you choose one, you'll be given category A, category B, category C. But but you have to choose one. So under category A, you may find an advertisement or an invitation card, a flyer, or a poster. That's according to the new examination guideline. Category B is diary entries. And those diary entries can be two, or it can be one. Don't get shocked if you find only one diary entry. It's still okay. You just enter, you just write one diary entry, but you must remember to indicate, you must remember to stick to the number of words that are required there. It's 80 to 100. And for the previous one, for the longer transactional writing, it's 120 to 150 words. Like we indicated for category A, for section A, it's 250 to 300 words. So you must remember to respect the number of words that are required per section. And we have just indicated that under category A, you can find an advertisement. If there is no advertisement, it means it's an invitation card. If it's not an invitation card, you may find a poster or you may find a flyer. That's category A under section C. So that can be, that will be your 3.1. So on 3.1, you may find an advert. If you don't find an advert 3.1, you'll find an invitation card. If you don't find an invitation card, you find a flyer. If you don't find a flyer, you get a poster. Then, category C, which is your category B, which is your 3.2, you may find diary entries or a diary entry. Or you may find an SMS, short message system or short message service. You may find an SMS. That's something new, because what is happening now is our English-based traditional language is dynamic. So as things change, we also have to change with change and adjust accordingly. So they've introduced in the new examination guidelines SMSs. You may be required to write SMSs. And these short message systems that we are talking about may be a WhatsApp message, WhatsApp messages, Facebook messages, that's your Facebook Messenger. You know all those things that you are doing these days on social media. You may expect that under category B. It's a new development that we have in our new examination guidelines for 2021. Maybe some of you have just heard this for the first time today, but it's true. You may find any of those things that you do on social media. That's your WhatsApp message, your Facebook Messenger messages, and so on. Then category C, we have instructions, which is your 3.3. If you don't find instructions, you are likely to find directions. So that is basically the structure of your question paper. I thought it was important for us to deal with that first before we get deep into the content. We just deal with the structure. So how is it marked? Content planning and format is marked out of 12. Then language style and editing are marked out of 8. Making the total 20. So if you check properly, section A is out of 50, section B is out of 30, and section C is out of 20. And if you add these marks, they add to 100. And it's possible that you can get 100 out of 100 if you do what you are supposed to do, follow all instructions, no mistakes, no grammar mistakes. It's possible. So get in with that, into that examination with the mentality that I have to go and get the maximum marks. Very important, because you have already seen how you probably performed if you assess yourself in paper one, paper two. So in paper three, you have to go and work extra hard, boys and girls, so that your symbol or your mark for English First Additional Language will be pleasing. We will meet, boys and girls, and we'll continue after break, boys and girls, with our English First Additional Language. Thank you very much. Welcome back from the commercial break. As I indicated, today we are dealing with English First Additional Language Paper 3. We focused on the structure, we focused on the examination guidelines, and now we want to proceed to longer transactional writing, because in the previous lesson we dealt with the different types of essays, that is your section A, and we had touched a little bit on the informal letter. So we want to continue with the longer transactional texts. Time permitting, we proceed to shorter transactional writing. So at this point in time, I just want to take you through an informal letter. So with an informal letter, we said yesterday in the previous lesson that you should write only one address on the right-hand side. But we indicated that that address can be a postal address or a street address. It's acceptable. So if it's a street address, it starts with a number, obviously. Then from that number, you can now indicate the street, like 180 Grove Street, 180 Grove Road. That 180 is followed by Grove with a capital letter G and the road with a capital letter R. Then the name of the town obviously should also start with a capital letter. Then from there is the code. So if you use the street address, we expect just three things there: the street number and the street and the town, followed by the code. So it's 180 Grove Road, Chatsworth. Grove Road, remember, it's capital letter G, capital letter R, Chatsworth, capital letter C, then the code. Immediately after writing the code, then you write the date. And after writing the date, that's when we expect that you skip a line and write your salutation. The salutation. Salutation will be indicating the person that you are writing the letter to. For example, Dear Miss Brown. I'm just using here the document that I think it's actually a workbook which was designed by the National Department. And I see here the author is Mr. B. Munyaki. I don't know if it was authored by other people, but I see the author here is Mr. B. Munyaki from the National Department. So this is a document that I'm mainly using to show you how to deal with longer transactional writing. Of course, I have got other documents that I am coupling with this one. So after writing Dear Miss Brown, which I said in the previous lesson that there shouldn't be any punctuation. If they say write a letter to your uncle, you write the name of the uncle to show that you know him very well. Dear Uncle John, Dear Uncle Wayne. No punctuation. So now, because this one is writing a letter maybe to the teacher, so it's Dear Mrs. Brown. And in the first paragraph, it should be like this. From the moment you began your first lesson, I was immediately captivated. As you can see, this person is writing a letter of gratitude for an enriching experience that the learner got from Mrs. Brown. From the moment you began your first lesson, I was immediately captivated. And for the first time in 3 years, I felt that I would be able to understand the beauty of physical sciences. You have had an enormous impact on my life, even though you have been at my school for only half a year. Thank you for helping me to come to terms with the areas of the syllabus that I have always been that have always been problematic for me. I really appreciate all the extra work and activities you managed to cover with us. The passion and interest that you shared have led to men wanting to include physics in my tertiary studies. Yes, the passion and interest that you have shared led to my wanting to include physics in my tertiary studies next year. I know that while attending physics lectures, I will always keep you in mind. I'm grateful not only for the usual class lessons, but also for the extra life lessons that you shared along the way. I'll miss the jovial atmosphere that always radiated from your classroom. Your rare smile and much needed sense of humor elevated the spirits of the entire class. It has been a pleasure to be one of your students. Yours truly, Ketha. So as you can see, when you end this letter, you don't write yours faithfully because it's an informal letter. So you may write yours truly, and the spelling for the word truly doesn't have an E. It's just T-R-U-L-Y. Or if you feel that it can be a challenge, you can just say with love, then you write your name, and there shouldn't be any full stop there. You may be tempted that because it's the end of the letter, you may want to use a full stop. No, you don't do that. There shouldn't be any punctuation. And your name shouldn't be coupled with your surname because you're writing to somebody who already knows you and it's an informal letter. There shouldn't be any punctuation there. So that's about an informal letter. It should have just one address and it should have dear, then the name of the person. Then when you are done writing, you should not write yours faithfully. Now, let's move on to formal letters. When we're talking about formal letters, they can be written for different purposes, such as to order something, or to make inquiries, or to complain about a service or a product, or to apply or inquire about a job, or to express gratitude. It can be a formal letter expressing gratitude. So the first thing with your formal letter is that there has to be two addresses this time, because it's a formal letter. We want your address on the right hand side. It can be a street address or postal address. There is no problem. And it should be followed by the date. Then after the date, before you write the second address on the left side, we want to see the recipient, the one who is going to receive that letter. Is it the manager? Is it the principal? Is it the municipality manager? Who is that person that you are addressing? So you write the municipality manager and you write the address of that municipality to which you are writing the letter. Or if it's a school, the principal, then the address of that school. If it's a shop, the managing director or the manager, then you write the address of that shop. If it's ShopRite or Checkers or Pep Stores, you write their address. Then after writing the address of the recipient, you now skip a line and write Dear Sir or Madam. In most cases, we don't expect that you know the name of the manager, but if you do, you may write the name of that manager or that principal, that municipality manager, but you must remember that when you end such a letter, you don't use yours faithfully, you use yours sincerely. So if the letter has been started by a name, Dear Mr. Joren, it means the end should be yours sincerely, if it's a formal letter. So the layout of the letter, like I said, is the greeting, Dear Mr. Jones, to somebody that you know, or Dear Sir or Madam to somebody that you don't know. Then there should be an opening paragraph where you state the reason of your letter. I am writing with reference to the new state, or I am writing in response to the new state your reason, or I am writing complaining about if you are complaining. Then from there is the body of the letter, and normally it's just two paragraphs to add on to the first paragraph. Then there should be a final sentence that signals the end. And in that final sentence, boys and girls, that's where you indicate, I look forward to receiving your reply, or thanking you in advance for the consideration, or I look forward to hearing from you. Then that's what we call the last paragraph of the final sentence. Then from there, you write yours faithfully. Then after writing yours faithfully, before you write your surname and initial, we want to see your signature. So the signature just comes up, comes just after yours faithfully. But remember, if you have used the name of that manager, you don't write yours faithfully, you write yours sincerely. I encourage you, boys and girls, to just write dear sir or madam, so that your ending will be yours faithfully. It's creative writing, of course, but it's important that you understand what we are saying here. That if you say dear sir or madam at the top, it means at the bottom you say yours faithfully. Then it should be followed by your signature. Then from your signature, we expect to find your surname and your initial. Right. The formal letter can be a formal letter of a complaint. You are complaining about something that you did not like. But remember, you must never be rude or offensive when writing this letter. Though you are complaining, you must remain polite. You may use phrases like, I'm particularly unhappy about. You see, it's not offensive. Or, I would like to express my disappointment in blah, blah, blah. You don't have to be rude in your language. You are still formal in your language. Then the next letter can be a formal letter to request for something. These are letters written to request information, or you're requesting advice or assistance. You write this letter because you want to receive additional details or information on a particular or a certain matter. These letters are always informal. And as all formal words, these letters should be formal. And in all formal letters, they should be a clear organization of paragraphs, where you have an opening paragraph where you are stating the reason why you're writing that letter, then the body, which should be three paragraphs, which include all the relevant information that you want. Then the last paragraph signaling the end of the letter. Then the closing paragraph, like we indicated in the previous letter. Then that should be followed by yours sincerely, yours faithfully. We only use yours sincerely if you have written the name of the person who should receive the letter. So here I've got an example of that kind of a formal letter. You want to get more information. You are requesting more information. Dear sir or madam, I saw your an advertisement in the newspaper last week while I was at the dentist. I want to get more information, but let me take this one that is more formal, where you use formal language. I'm writing with reference to the advertisement I saw in Freedom. This is a newspaper recently, and would like to receive more detailed information. You see, unlike the previous one, this one is formal. This is what we expect in a formal letter. I believe I meet all the requirements mentioned in your advertisement. However, I do not have medical knowledge that goes beyond first aid. I can swim, but I cannot swim very confidently. I am very keen on nature and often go on walking and rafting expeditions, both in Italy and abroad. If I am eligible to be a group member, I would appreciate receiving more information about the cost of the wildlife tour and the number of people in the group. Moreover, I would like to know exactly what is meant by willing to rough it outdoors. Apart from sleeping in tents and eating mostly canned foods, is something else intended? Lastly, I would like to know the exact dates of the tour. Then the closing statement, I look forward to receiving your reply. Yours faithfully, followed by the signature. Then your name and initials should follow. Then an application letter, there is no much of a difference, is the same. In the application letter, you remember that we have two addresses, your address and the address of the recipient. Then from there, we have DSA or madam. Then from there, we have the subject. Then from there, we have the three paragraphs. And from there, you write you write yours faithfully, because at the top, we expect that you write DSA or madam. Then the next letter is a letter to the editor. With a letter to the editor, the address, we can have your address at the top. Then you write the letter. After writing the letter, then you write the editor. Then under the editor, you write the address of the newspaper that you to which you are writing the letter. So to begin the letter, you can say, I'm writing this letter in response to the article. Oh, I'm writing this letter in response to the letter that I saw. I'm writing to express my support for or my disapproval of. Then you state an opinion. It is my opinion that. Then you give us your opinion. Then from there, you give us the results, what would be expected. This would mean that or therefore, and then this is what will happen, or as a result, this is what will happen. Then to end the letter, you say, I hope my comments or my suggestion will be taken into consideration. Then you write yours faithfully, followed by the signature, then your name, surname, and initial. We don't expect you to write your full names there. I think that's about formal letters. Then the informal letters, we have dealt with them. We have dealt with quite a number of formal letters. And I would like us to focus on an obituary. It's one thing that I think is marked almost objectively. So if an obituary is there, one may really encourage candidates to attempt it, because it's sort of marked objectively, though it's a creative writing. But if you practice it well, it can fetch you a lot of marks. That is an obituary. That's what we'll deal with when we come back from the commercial break, boys and girls. It's time for a commercial break. Welcome back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, I indicated that we'll deal with an obituary. So an obituary, in English first editional language, is a notice of the passing on of somebody known by the target audience. Over and above formally announcing the death, it also sketches the cause of death as well as the funeral arrangements. So the aspects below must be included in an obituary. The full name of the deceased. We want the full name of the person who has passed on. Then the date of birth and his date of death. Then where the person was living at the time of death. His birthplace. The key survivors and their names. Then the time and date of the funeral. But what is more important, the most important aspect of an obituary is the tribute. And some of the following points may also be included: the cause of death, the biographical information. And you must remember that we use euphemisms when we're writing an obituary. We don't say a person died, we say the person passed away, and we state the date. So it is important that when you're writing an obituary, you first of all write the number and the heading. An obituary of, you state the person, the deceased, John Smith by Henry Smith. Maybe the family has asked you to write an obituary to notify the friends and relatives. So in paragraph, actually, I normally tell learners that your obituary should be in paragraphs. And you must know that in paragraph number one, we expect that you include the name of the person, the deceased, the full name of the deceased in paragraph number one. You may also indicate the profession where the person was working. Then you may also indicate in paragraph number one the cause of death. It can be a car accident, or it can be after a short illness, a brief illness, or it can be after a long illness. Well, it's probably not very important for you to get into details of the cause of sickness, like the deceased died of HIV. You know, such kind of things do not show respect to the deceased. So it's better if you just say after a brief illness or after being involved in a horrific car accident. Then in the same paragraph, you indicate the date of death, the date of birth, the date of death, and the place of death, the place of birth. We want to see all that information in paragraph number one. Then the age at the time of his death. But it is very, very important, boys and girls, for you to read the question. At times you find that they write an obituary of someone who is maybe in your soccer team, and you know you are somebody who is matric, and we expect that that person should be of your age. Or they say your grandfather has passed away, it means his age should not be the same as yours. So it is very, very important for you to read and understand the question so that you know the age of the person who has passed on. Then after writing that information in the first paragraph, we expect that in the second paragraph, you tell us about the academic achievements. That's your paragraph number two. You indicate maybe the primary school that he attended, the high school that he attended, and maybe the fact that he passed with flying colors in the second paragraph. Then you also tell us about tertiary studies. If the person that has passed away is a teacher, maybe it's important that even the studies that he undertook at a tertiary institution should be related to teaching. If the person was a teacher, if the person was a medical doctor, the tertiary studies should be related to medicine. That is the second paragraph. Paragraph number one, all that information about full names of the deceased, the date, place, the date of death, the date of birth, where the person was living at the time of the death, his the cause of death. Then you move on to paragraph two, where you talk about the academic achievements. From academic achievements, we want you to proceed to paragraph three, where you tell us about the surviving family members. There you say, he is survived by. Then you indicate the people that are close to him. You don't say he was survived by. No, that's the only time you have an opportunity for those who enjoy using the present tense. Say he is survived by. That is maybe is what people enjoy using. So it's important that you do not use the past tense on that one. The auxiliary verb was, though survived is already in the past tense. From there, you now go on to the most important paragraph of an obituary, where you pay tribute. When you are paying tribute, you are indicating the contributions that were made by this person who has passed away. I normally encourage learners that it shouldn't be just one contribution. You must think of three, at least three contributions. To say he is the founder of the local soccer team for school leavers, or you can say he is the sponsor of the choirs in our community for choral music. It's something that shows that this person was very active and he will be sincerely missed. We want that to be the most fatal paragraph. The paragraph that is very rich should be the paragraph about tribute. If you forget to include the paragraph on tribute, boys and girls, then it means your obituary will be very shallow. So you must remember that paragraph number 3 is the most important, where you tell us the contributions that were made by the deceased. From there, you can now tell us about the funeral arrangements, the memorial service arrangements, where you give us the date, the time, and the place. Date of the memorial service, date of the funeral, time of the memorial service, time of the funeral, and place of the memorial service, place of the funeral. That's what should be included in an obituary. In our obituary, boys and girls, it's not important that you write rest in peace. And, us as Africans, we have what we call totems, where we have our an animal that represents our clan. And you include that. No, you don't do that. We don't expect that the kind of rest in peace cow, rest in peace pig. We don't do that. So it's better you just ignore the rest in peace part, because we are writing an obituary to inform friends and family about the passing on of somebody. That's about an obituary, boys and girls. So under section B again, we, other than the obituary, like I said, you may be expected to write a CV and a letter that accompanies the CV. You must learn how to write a CV, so that if you choose that one, the one for a CV, you know how to structure your curriculum vitae. Then there can be dialogue and interview. When writing dialogue, your characters should have names, and the name should be followed by a colon. Then the utterances should be in a very straight line on the right-hand side after writing the names of the people involved in the dialogue. So in dialogue, write the names of the characters on the left side of the page. Use a colon after the name of the character who is speaking. Use a new line to indicate each new speaker. Avoid using long greetings. It's not important for you to start with the greetings. You can even start with the key issues to be discussed. Then sketch a scenario before you start writing. You must tell us where these characters are, the setting for the one that you know from your literature, from your English paper too. We want to see a scenario. Then you may be required to write speeches. A speech can be formal, a speech can be informal. But remember, it should have a heading. Why dreaming big is not always good as your topic, then you start with the greetings. Good morning, matriculants. Then you start your speech. I have an important question for you. Which way of thinking is better, dreaming big or being satisfied with small things? My whole life, I thought I was going to be huge. I constantly scored at the top of the class. Over time, however, my motivation turned into something unhealthy. I started to believe that I was entitled to success. The first ominous sign came when I didn't get a perfect score at the university entrance exams. I started to feel like a failure. Now you are probably wondering, what does that have to do with dreaming big? Here is my answer. I always dream big, and this made me overlook tiny successes. Dreaming big is good, as it helps a person to set far-reaching goals and do bold things. But it can only work if a person has a healthy relationship with failure and takes tiny steps. My wish for you is that you will always dream big despite the setbacks on your road to success. Thank you. So that's how you can present your speech, boys and girls, as if you are actually talking to those people that you are addressing. Then there is what we call a review. And a review is an individual response to work of art, to a film, to a book, to TV programs. Reviews might appear in a magazine or newspaper article. So you can also make a review on a restaurant. When you're making a review on a restaurant, what you're doing is you write, for example, "Sit down at Thalapansi, a feast awaits you," by Jessica Smith. That's a review that you are making about a restaurant. An example of a restaurant review. Then from there, you tell us the location where it is found, then the telephone number, the address. Then you tell us maybe what they offer, what you like, and what you recommend about that restaurant. Then I indicated that there can be a CV and a cover letter. What you expect in a CV are the personal details, that is your surname and name, the date of birth, ID number, the address, the contact numbers, the gender, marital status, nationality, criminal record. Then from there, we go to your formal qualifications, which include the secondary and tertiary qualifications, the work experience, and so on. That's what you expect in a CV. Then a quick run on section C, where you can find diary entries. If it's diary entries, it has to be infested with emotions and is written in the first person narration. Then if it's directions, you direct the person from the place that has been written on the question to the destination where the person should arrive. And in direction, you must ensure that it's very clear. You use landmarks such as a shop, a church, a school, a garage. Then you also include street names and some terms. Very, very important. Then words that you can use is drive up, walk down, walk past a church, pass the blue building and proceed to the eastern direction. Walk in an easterly direction towards the church. Cross over to Mandela Street and so on. So that, those are some of the words that you can use. We are running out of time. Then quickly, instructions. Instructions are commands of how something can be carried out. You can be asked to write instructions to give to somebody who has just joined your class. Let those instructions be just commands, straightforward commands as to how the person should behave. So, boys and girls, that's the end of our lessons, a series of lessons for English First Additional Language. And I would like to wish you all the best in your English First Additional Language Paper 3. All the best in your examinations, boys and girls. It has been a great pleasure from Mr. Jore M. Thank you very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.